great to be a follower of Jesus? We can praise Him in any storm. Several times this morning it's been said that we are a family. The local church is a family of God, and when one suffers, we all suffer together. Someone put it like this: if you're cut, the other one bleeds. And thank the Lord that we can come together as a family and be able to see that we are members one of another, and that God is in charge of all things. You know, there's a lot of bad news that goes around, but you know, when something like this happens, it's been shared this morning, I would just challenge you and urge you to look for the best, because we're people of faith, we're people of hope, and we can, there's no need to pray and then talk about how bad it's going to get, because we can believe that God is able. Someone wrote a book called Challenging the Impossible, and the scripture says if it's with men, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And we believe in the supernatural. We believe that God reaches in and changes people's lives. I still say the greatest miracle of all is salvation. It's when a person that was headed for hell is turned around, repents of their sins, and is able to be a new creation in Christ. Because, you know, this body is decaying every day. I mean, we don't like that, but it says, you know, Scripture says that the outward man is perishing. Oh, no, don't say that. Well, it's in the Bible, you know, so it's true. There's some reality we have to accept. But the inward man is being renewed day by day, and that God can, He's going to keep us here as long as He needs us here, and then we're going to be able to go and be with Him forever, and that is not a bad news. That is great news. We call it the good news. And so we have a lot of bad news. You never know what's going to happen. When you watch the news, it seems like that it's shocking every day that something is there that you would have never dreamed that would happen. And yet, we are living in a sinful world that the consequences of sin are upon us. And so we recognize that we can rise above all of that because the Gospels are the good news of Jesus Christ. The writer C.S. Lewis once noted, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks to us in our conscience, but He shouts to us in our pain. It is a megaphone to rouse a deaf world. So if it's all smooth sailing, well, we would not even probably depend upon the Lord. There's just something about that when pain comes, like it says, that we shout in our pain when it gets that bad. Someone says, we need to pray. Someone else says, has it come to that? Well, it has. It has come to that. And we recognize that we are people that call upon the Lord, and He does. I love the scripture, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not. So we're people of faith that we can lift our hands. The song said, lift your hands to the Lord and say, Lord, it's up to you. It's up to you. The hands are antennas. They transmit, they receive, and we are able to receive that encouragement from the Lord. We tell our children, don't ask why, because children say why. You say no, they say why, and then you say don't ask why. Well, many times that's what we want to say. Why is suffering in this world? What is the why of suffering? In a classic book, The Imitation of Christ, by the way, I'm speaking on suffering and helping those that are suffering and healing. That's a good title too. Classic book, The Imitation of Christ. It was written over 500 years ago. Can you believe how they did that without an iPad, without a computer? Maybe they didn't have a yellow pad 500 years ago. And it describes the spiritual value of suffering and hardships. He writes, you must pass through the fire and the water before you can come to refreshment. Smooth sea never made a good sailor. So submit yourself to the will of God and bear whatever shall happen to you for the glory of Jesus Christ. Because after winter comes summer. After the night comes the day. After the storm comes a great calm. You know, we prayed for this rain, and did it ever come? Did God ever answer that prayer? I mean, even the little hope lake out at Calvary Commission is overflowing. And so here we are today with good weather again. But he says, after the storm comes a great calm. There is no health for the soul, nor hope for eternal life, except in the cross. If you're companions in the sufferings of Christ, you will be partakers in his glory. We don't like it when it's happening, but afterwards we can look back and say, Lord, you did that. The most difficult roads in life are the ones that lead to the most beautiful views, the most beautiful scenery. Therefore, take up your cross and follow Jesus, and you will attain eternal life. He continues to say, God truly loves and cares for each of us. Even the sufferings and hardships in our lives are signs of God's love and special opportunities for spiritual growth. May we always see the trials and difficulties of this life as opportunities to grow closer to God, to grow in our faith and trust in God and grow more. One with Him in holiness, may this understanding always give us patience, hope, and peace as we face our daily trials. Well, he's with the Lord, not 500 years, but we recognize what a message to us today, that there are others that have been through pain and been through suffering and have been able to rise above it and come out on the other side. We've been blessed for these 45 plus years to reach out to people that are in trouble, people that are in prison, and yet it was the trouble that caused them to turn to the Lord. I wrote a newsletter a few years ago, Can Anything Good Come Out of a Disaster? And I told the story of Wichita Falls tornado and how that in the midst of that, that Elvin Dudley and his family were spared, and he's with us today and has served the Lord all these years. It took disaster to bring about that. We have others here that when they heard the door clang shut on the jail or the prison, then they said, I better get right with God. I asked one inmate one time, I said, when did you get saved? He said, while I was being arrested. He said, they were chasing me and said, I turned over in a ditch and upside down, had these shotguns facing me. He said, God, it's all about you. I can't do anything about this, you know. So it takes the storm sometimes to get our attention so that we'll be able to reach out. So how do you handle the why of suffering? Well, the book of James is a very practical book. Chapter 5, verses 9 through 11 says, do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You've heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Job wrote that, and we know that at the end of his life, 42:12, it says, the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. So we can look on the other side when we get through. That's why I like the word breakthrough, because there's something you got to break through. It's those difficulties in life that it seems impossible, but all of a sudden there is light. Whenever, I'll date myself now, but there was a time that they said that if you had never flown on an airplane, they'd give you a free flight on, well, it became Continental, but it was Texas Airways, Trans-Texas Airways, or something like that. And for $25, you could go anywhere and back. Well, the farthest I could go was Santa Fe, New Mexico, or Albuquerque. And so I said to my pastor, I'll pay your way. Big deal, $25, you know, $50 for both of them. And I was in business. And so we went out here to the Tyler Airport and got pictures later of us. And I had fear all over my face, you know, because I, and plus it was raining. And I thought, I don't know if that plane can get off the ground with this water or not. And we got on that little plane. It was just a hopper thing. It kind of stopped in the back like this. And what I noticed, as soon as we got up, that on the other side of the clouds, the sun was shining. From God's point of view, everything was okay. It was our point of view that was having trouble. Matthew Henry writes, "The coming of the Lord to punish the wicked Jews was then very nigh. When James wrote this epistle, and whenever the patience and other graces of his people are tried in an extraordinary manner, the certainty of Christ's coming as judge and the nearness of it should establish their hearts. The judge is now a great deal nearer, and he is coming to judge the world. Then he will judge the world." We recognize that we can look to judgment coming. There's going to be some persecutions. There's going to be some difficult days ahead. Had a friend of ours that had a friend in missions that said, "I've got a product that will purify the creek water, and it's good for missionaries to have, and I'm going to give them to you if you want them." So Bob went and got 600 of these. I'll give you one. At least, you know, we don't know what's ahead if everything goes bad in our country, but we do know that the remnant of those that are following the Lord are going to be taken care of, and that we are going to be able to shine in this crooked and perverse world. We can shine forth as lights. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the world, and we are going to be a place where that people can come and find the Lord. I have a continuing vision in my spirit that there's coming a day that things will get so bad that the backsliders will wake up. And they will say, "I've got to get right with the Lord." And they will say, "I'm going to stop at this church, and I'm going to run into the altar. And I may be preaching. Someone else may be preaching." They won't wait for that. They'll run to the altar. They know how to get right with God. They've just been in rebellion and sin against the Lord. And they'll come back to the Lord. And there's going to be that gathering of people in these final days as we recognize that God is in control and he's drawing people to him. So there is the suffering of the body. We have to admit that. Like I said, the outward man is perishing. The Christian Science followers say, "You're not sick, it's all in your mind." The positive confession people say, "Don't confess it." But Jesus says in Matthew 25, "I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." And I add a little bit there, "You came to me because I couldn't come to you." And so that we recognize that, and they're going to prison right now. Bless them, Lord. Now, why would this sickness of the body come to us? It's all because we're in a fallen world. And sickness came into this world when Adam and Eve sinned and things changed. That's why when I walk through the grass, I get grass, we call them sticker burrs, on my shoes. And it's because that those thorns are there, but they're for a purpose, but they came. Thorns and thistles came. And we recognize that we're in a fallen world. Matthew 5:45 says that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. And because that we are part of this sinful world that is around us, we can shine as lights, but there's going to be certain consequences because of that. It's not like before the fall, when everything was perfect, but we've messed up his creation, and sin has brought some of these diseases into our world. I know a little bit about infections because I went to have that simple hip surgery. They said 2 hours, 2 days, and 2 weeks. And I had 5 surgeries because of infections, and I washed my hands. They still said, "You got another infection." So we pray against those. We pray for Taylor Shrum this morning that's back from the mission field because of infections. So there is the suffering of the body that is there. We need to take care of our body. We need to eat right. We need to exercise. We need to do what we can do. But the fact is that there's going to be suffering in this body of ours. There's going to be the the suffering of the soul. What is the soul? It's our mind, will, and our emotions. How does the mind suffer? Well, in comes confusion and doubt and the lies of the enemy. And in comes these things that are conformed to the world. Be not conformed to the world, be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. And so we recognize that there's a suffering of the soul. The will comes in, these false statements. We perceive truth. It's not truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You seek Jesus, you will have truth if you have Jesus. We will become opinionated because of our will that is there. Our emotions is something that certainly suffers with feelings of anger. Many problems in our world because of the bitterness that is there, because of lack of forgiveness. And this unforgiveness that is there causes suffering of our emotions. We have this unforgiveness, which comes bitterness, which ends up with a feeling of insecurity, so that we cannot have the identity that we need in Jesus to go forward. Hatred is one of those emotions. Yes, love is an emotion that is there. And when we feel we're not loved, well, then comes that feeling. Disappointments is an emotion. But praise God for hope. Hope is an emotion, too. And it comes in to give us that strength to take that next step. I was in a very difficult situation in business. And a businessman came to see me one day. And he was wanting the money that I owed him. And eventually, praise God, I did pay him off. But the fact was, as I shared my heart with him, he said, well, I've learned. And this was not, a prophet. This was not a teacher. This was not a pastor. He was a businessman that came for his money. He said, I've learned that as long as you keep picking up one foot, there'll always be a place to put it down. Well, it healed my emotions that day. It gave me hope, and God was able to help us through that. And praise God, we got rid of all that junk anyway and didn't need it anymore and began to follow the Lord in ministry. There's a suffering of the Spirit. That is spiritual suffering, is when we yield to temptation and we begin to move away from God. It's part of the great falling away the Scripture talks about. I am so shocked when I see another believer that gives up on following the Lord. And I tell you this, please listen to me. If you start sipping, you'll start slipping. If you start slipping and start sipping, you do not get close to sin without getting burnt. You cannot play with fire without getting burnt. And so we recognize that there is a great falling away. I am so shocked when I hear of another minister that has fallen into sin. And the Scripture says that after I preach to others, that I myself would be a castaway or disqualified. And we've got to be people that love holiness, and we desire holiness. We want God to be there in our hearts and our lives to bring forth that work in our hearts and our lives. Compromising, believing lies, backsliding, giving up, it's part of suffering in our spirit. And yet we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day and walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of desires of the flesh. Another classic book gives five purposes for suffering. He calls it the five R's. The first one is repentance. Suffering is a call to turn from treasuring anything else in the world other than God. As the Scripture says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So we must recognize that if we're moving away from that nearness to God, didn't we sing that this morning? Draw us closer. Draw me in. Where your treasure is, there's your heart also. Suffering that comes our way, it's a wake-up call to turn from treasuring anything in the world other than God. That's when God becomes near. That's when our friends become dear. That's when we are able to repent, to change our mind about what we're doing, to turn away from ourselves and living for self and turn to living for the Lord God. The next R is reliance. Suffering is a call to trust God. and not these sustaining props that the world gives us, but trust God. When I had my first surgery, I said, well, I'm going to trust in you and God. And the surgeon said, the first one's the best one. And later, I just continued to say, let me pray for your hands. And praise God, I can walk and run and everything God did in my life through that time. Someone said, after that last surgery, I'm sure you're very disappointed. I said, not really. It's like swimming underwater. You come up for air and you go again. And that's what we have to do, is just keep on. Keep on. Our faith is in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 1, 8 and 9 is Paul's letter, and it's called Delivered from Suffering. He says, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead. That we do not trust in ourselves, but we trust in the one who raised from the dead. So we rely upon him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Another R is righteousness. Suffering is a discipline of our loving Heavenly Father so that we can come and share his holiness. And so it's a way of getting right standing with God, getting back right with God. Any form of sin that you were once victorious over, coming back is a step backward. It's backsliding. Someone said it's when you stop that devotion in the morning. It's when you stop that scripture reading. It's when you stop witnessing to others. Once what you once did, it is coming there again, that you recognize that I'm not right. I'm not right in what I was doing. I heard that David Wilkerson said that he went back to the streets of New York and he looked, he said, these are a bunch of stupid people. My goodness, look how they're living. They're just drug addicts and alcoholics and they're just tramps in the street. He said, wait a minute, I got to go back to the closet. I got to go back to the closet and I've got to cry out to God and let that fire come back again, that I can see them as I once did, that they're precious in God's sight. Yeah. Another man said, they're a precious soul. I'll do all I can to help them rise in life and meet that goal. That we have to have that refreshing so that we can get back to where God had us before. Hebrews 12:6. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. So suffering can be a chastening, and scourges every son whom he receives. Hebrews 12, verse 10 and 11. For they indeed for a few days chastened us, as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. God's doing a cleaning up on the body of Christ. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness, so those who have been trained by it. We are being trained. We're in basic training for the war that's headed our way, that is our way. Another R is reward. From suffering comes a great reward. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, you think it's forever, but it says it's just for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Let the Lord do all he's wanting to do. Don't shortcut a trial you're going through. Let him finish his work. There's a great reward. The fifth R is reminder. Suffering reminds us of the suffering Jesus did for us. Because he suffered, we can get through our suffering. Philippians 3:10 says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. That I may know him, the power of his resurrection. Another version says that I may share in his sufferings. The Suffering Savior is a classic book by a man named, German man, I believe, Krumacher, something like that. I was showing it to Aaron this week, and I said, I got it on Kindle for 99 cents. He said, and he spent his life writing this book, and now it's sold for 99 cents. I looked, and it was first published in 1947, and he talks about the sufferings of Jesus and how that he did all of this for us, which brings me to Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 10. We're going to kind of close with that scripture. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Listen to verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before its shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. Would you make his soul an offering for sin? So we talked a lot about suffering this morning. And yes, I chose this word because I felt like we as a body were suffering the shocking news about our sister Carla, and that we needed to be assured that God knows all about this, even though it came upon them overnight, and that we had no thought. She was at a wedding in Illinois the week before the pains hit, and yet we know that suffering is very real. But how can we as believers, how can we as a body help those who are suffering? Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So if you're feeling a little heavy this morning, I think Brother Robert shared that we take that spirit of heaviness and we give it a garment of praise, that it's real, it's there, because we're concerned about our sister, and yet we learn to bear their burdens. Charlotte and I went through torrential rain on Thursday night to make it up to Dallas, and she had just been released from the hospital, and which was a good thing. Go home, get some strength, go home, have some regular time without those doctors and nurses around. And we walked in, and she was in good shape. She was in good spirits. She was believing. She said, the Lord showed me. She had it on the side of the door there that would take through the fire and through the water, he'll bring me through it. And so we recognized that we went to bear a burden there, and yet it was that way. Several years ago, my aunt was in a dying condition in the hospital in Houston, and I had some people with me from the ministry, and we stopped to cheer her up. She cheered us up. See, she had the faith of the ages that said, no matter what, I'm closer to Jesus than I've ever been, and this is great, you know, and we can recognize that we bear one another's burdens. And I know that the fellowship here is based upon fellowship a whole lot, and we can't hardly close the door because people are still talking to each other, and we finally have to start turning the lights off. But that's because we've learned how to be members one of another and to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:26, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. And so we recognize that we can have a ministry to the suffering, that we can be able to have a helping hand. We can have a healing hand. It's that ministry of the Holy Spirit that he has given us. The ministry of comfort It means to call near, to come alongside of, to take away pain. When I was just turned 13, we got a call from Southwestern Bible Institute, called at that time, now SAGU, and it was the district superintendent. And I heard my mother say, "Oh no." And I jumped out of bed, and they began to tell us that my brother had been killed along with four others in an accident that night. And my mother had the call. My father, for one reason or another, had his, he worked at a cleaner's as well as pastoring the church, and his boss had said, "Let's go fishing." So he was already left to go down to the cleaner's shop on Front Street. I heard my mother say, "Is he injured? Is he dead?" And I saw her take the phone and just put it in her chest like this and begin to weep. And all of a sudden, a friend was on the other end that they had been youth together in a church in Houston. Now he's district superintendent. He was telling her about the news. And she began to speak in tongues. She began to give out a message in tongues. And I was just a little boy standing there, and then she interpreted that message. And it said something like, "My daughter, I will not forsake you. I am with you. I will give you power. I will give you help." It was the comforter of the Holy Spirit coming alongside my mother at that time of need to help take away that shock, that pain. And yes, it was always there. Every October the 8th, we live it again because that was his 21st birthday, and he died on his birthday. All the wives were together for a surprise birthday party, and when we went down there the next day, well, the old sandwiches were still sitting there and the cake for the party, and it was a tragic thing that happened. But, you know, God got us through that. The Holy Spirit is a comforter, and he will come alongside of us. He will come near us. He will help to take away the pain. And we are to be ministers of comfort. We're to be people of comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, and it is my last scripture. "Blessed be the Lord God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation." And so it's going to be there. There's going to be some pain. "That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we're afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation." Consolation and comfort is the same thing. "Which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it's for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, you will also be partakers of the consolation. That we may be able to comfort others as we are comforted." And so we have a ministry to those that need our comfort. We always say every Sunday, I'll probably say it again in a few minutes, that go and find a need it, find a hurt and heal it. You see, that's a ministry of comfort. Go and find that lost person that is without hope and tell them that there is hope. The scripture says, be ready to give an answer always to the hope that is within you. So we've got to have that hope that is there, that would be there. I was at Dollar Tree this past week, standing there, and the man in front of me was talking to the cashier, and she said, "How are you doing?" He said, "Not too good." Said, "I've been 40 hours without a cigarette." Said, "I want to quit." He said, I've got this patch, I've got this stuff." And she said, "Well, I went 3 weeks and I started back again. Wasn't that stupid?" And she said, and I just listened to him, and I said, "Sir, can I pray for you?" I prayed, "Jesus, you can take this caffeine, forgive me, Lord, that you can take this nicotine away. You can take this nicotine away." Boy, that was a slip. You can take this nicotine away. And we got through, and he said, now that might help. I said, that will help. But you see, I was giving hope to someone that was in need. And so after service, we will have coffee. So, amen. Would you stand with me, please? We'll end up on a laugh today. I want to put that altar music on back there, Patrick. And I want our prayer team to come forward at this time. I believe there's people here that need personal prayer this morning. And we're going to just have some time here. And then we're going to be able to have a time of dismissing you. But just if you're not up here being prayed for or praying for someone, well, I want you to pray from where you are and just stretch your hand this way. Now, this morning, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, like it's been said, you need the Lord. This is not a time to be away from God. You need the Lord. And we can lead you to Jesus right up here this morning. And so we ask you this morning to come and give your life to Jesus. Salvation means that you no longer live for yourself, but you live for the one that died and rose again. He will forgive your sins. He will give you a new life. You can be born again, and your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, not the registry of Smith County when you're born as a baby, but in the Lamb's Book of Life. Anyone needing prayer this morning, come forward. Your hand this way and pray with these that have come. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. Charlie, I'm praying for you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray this morning for the suffering. I pray, God, that you will show us your way and your will. Lord, that you will give us strength today to face tomorrow. Lord, even as Jason and Carla are facing tomorrow, Lord, we join them. But Lord, we all face the battles of every day. And we pray, God, that you will be with us and that you will help us, Lord, and that we will be able, oh Lord, to follow you in every way. That we'll be able to find that strength that is needed for the pain that is there. Lord God, we pray that you'll touch our body, our soul, and our spirit. And that we would be able, Almighty God, to have that assurance that our God is in control. And that we can trust you, Lord. For you are our strength, you are our salvation. And we look to you this day, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before you endured the cross, despised the shame. You're seated at the right hand of the Father. And you're interceding for us today, Lord. You're praying for us this day. Lord, you're praying that we'll win. Not fail, but win. Succeed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. While these are praying, would you stretch your hand this way? I want to send you out with a blessing this morning. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Jehová te bendiga y te guarde. Jehová haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y tenga de ti misericordia. Jehová alce sobre ti su rostro y ponga en ti paz. I challenge you this morning now to go from this place and find that person that is in need. They're all around you. Find a need and meet it. Find a hurt and heal it. Go and be hope. Be Jesus to the people around you. Watch the face of Jesus in the world where that people have felt like that he has forsaken them. He has not. God bless you. Have some fellowship. See you Wednesday night. Great time to be together again. God bless you. Thank you all for coming. You're a blessing.